This is Adam Randall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Roster Watch. I am Cody Carpentier, joined as always by the Trash Man here on a pseudo dynasty version of the podcast, where last week we talked about the running backs entering free agency here in a couple of weeks on March 11th. And today we're going to be talking about wide receivers. And boy, oh boy, is this class not as deep as running back. We talked about running backs that, you know, I think there's a handful of them that are enticing. Wide receiver drops off very quickly. There's some interesting names, but they're predominantly all number twos on offenses. Click that like button. Click subscribe if you're here on YouTube. If you're on podcast, please leave a five-star review. Combine is next week. We'll be live, boots on the ground in Indianapolis, doing shows from Indianapolis. And when we get back, it'll be franchise tag deadline. It'll be free agency in full force. And then we'll be off and running. Trash Man, wide receivers. Romeo Doubs, Mike Evans, where do you want to start?
Start from the top.
All right. Top of the food chain is none other than George Pickens, who, if he gets the franchise tag from the Dallas Cowboys, will be $28.2 million for a one-year franchise tag for George Pickens to stay in Dallas. That is the – he's one of two receivers that are rumored to be – in the conversation, I should say, for a franchise tag. The other I've seen out there is Alec Pierce. I don't think Alec Pierce is going to get that. But if they decide to cut bait on Michael Pittman, he could be, I guess, in that conversation to pay him $28 million. It seems like a lot. You're a resident Cowboy. Are you in line with a franchise tag for Pickens? What's kind of your vibe there? Do you think this is more of like a three-year, four-year deal in Dallas, or do you think he tests the market like I think he should?
I mean, I think he should test the market. I mean, I think the issues with the Cowboys have very little to do with the offense at this point. I think they need to shore up that defense. I think they need cornerbacks. I think they need safeties. I think they need linemen, defensive linemen. So as much as I love George Pickens, and as electric as he is, and as helpful he is to the offense, I mean, it's not a do or die kind of situation for the Cowboys. I mean, they have CeeDee Lamb. They have capable tight ends. They have running backs who can catch the ball. I wouldn't begrudge them for doing it, but I don't think it's a move that they have to make.
$28 million is scheduled to be the franchise tag. Like I said, he's expected to get the franchise tag. We'll see what happens with that. The next guy in line, though, said he will be returning in 2026 for another season. That is Mike Evans from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He did not say whether it would be with Tampa Bay, but he did say he was going to be returning in 2026. If it's not with Tampa, which he seems to me just like a dude that's never going to leave Tampa. But if it's not, you know, the only other teams that really make a lot of sense to me are like teams that are going to compete for championships. And that's like, go to Philadelphia. Right. If they trade AJ Brown, go to Philadelphia and be the number two option, really the alpha, but the number two option with Devonta Smith, or potentially like a Buffalo situation, something like this. Mike Evans to me, it just feels like a lifer in Tampa.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, he could be somebody who the Cowboys could sign probably cheaper than George Pickens.
Back to Texas.
George Pickens goes. Yeah, no. I think it'd be a nice move for Evans. I think anybody would be happy to have him. And I think he's the kind of guy who's going to angle for some deal that's way out of his, it's way out of his pay grade at this point in his career. So I think, you know, there are going to be a lot of teams after him. I think there will be a lot of teams who could use him and could use his red zone presence. So I don't think Mike Evans is going to have any problem on the open market if he goes there. I mean, the thing is Tampa Bay, I mean, they kind of have a crowded receiver room at this point. So I don't think they're behooved to necessarily hold on to Evans. I think it's been a nice run for him there. I think he could stay, but I think he could really go anywhere else and contribute to a team. I mean, he could go to the Patriots. They need more pass catchers. He could go to the Seahawks. They could use somebody outside of JSN. So yeah, he could really go anywhere.
It's too bad Houston didn't have a need for a big body receiver, because he going back home would be a lot. That would make a lot of sense. The Tampa Bay interest. It's interesting. You bring like Godwin, McMillan were both banged up last year. Even Emeka Egbuka was banged up last year, but they do have Tez Johnson still on the roster. We saw breakout a little bit last year as a seventh round pick. And they get Cam Johnson as the number five on that roster. And of course, you can always, I mean, they've done pretty well drafting third round, seventh round, first round, doesn't really matter. They've done pretty well drafting the wide receiver position. It'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with Mike Evans. I don't venture to bet he will sign right away. I think that's probably going to be a thing where he just kind of waits and waits and waits and sees how the market reacts and then sees what Tampa wants to do and maybe how he feels based on what other things happen. But one player that might make the splash and got a shocking projection from The Athletic. There was a column up at The Athletic. They put in their free agency predictions and stuff. This was Daniel Popper over at The Athletic. And he went through like 150 players. And he put a contract projection in for Alec Pierce from the Colts, who, like I mentioned a second ago, there is a rumor out there of potentially Michael Pittman being a cap casualty in Indianapolis, which again will be another interesting twist on this whole conversation. 26 years old, 6'3", 211, had a 1,000-yard season last year on just 47 receptions out of 84 targets. Alec Pierce, projection, 4 years, $102 million. That's $25.5 million per year, which is just a hair under that franchise tag of $28 million per year. That is Christian Kirk level. What was that? Was that 3 years ago? No, that had to been more than that. Remember the Christian Kirk contract when he went to Jacksonville? It was like, what was this deal? 4 years, 72. So this would be 4 years, 102. That's a vastly bigger.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to explain that type of a contract. But what do you make of this Alec Pierce projection? And do you have any like preferred landing spots for him? You know, is you see a lot of stuff breaking up in San Francisco right now. And I just wonder, like, no Jennings, the Kendrick Bourne's gone, no Ayuk projecting. It's like Ricky Pearsall and DeMarcus Robinson. Like, is that a fit?
I mean, he seems to work best on teams that have other viable receiving options. I mean, from what we've seen, you know, I don't know if he becomes that, like, primary pass catcher on offense if he thrives in that role. I think he's the kind of guy who he's like an elevated Rashid Shaheed, you know? And I don't even know if he's an elevated Rashid Shaheed. I think he just gets maybe more opportunities than Rashid Shaheed. So I really think it depends on the landing spot. I don't think he goes just anywhere and thrives. But I think San Fran could be a good fit for him. They would just need to have some other, I think, kind of intermediate pass catching option there to for him to play off of. I think another potential landing spot that might be good. He could go to the Raiders, you know, be a deep threat for, you know, Mendoza in his rookie year. On a team that, you know, is just kind of rebuilding, growing. I think he could make a lot of offenses better. I see him kind of as a number two receiver, I guess, for the most part. He's not going to be your chain mover. We've never really seen him in that role as a chain mover and a deep threat. He's been primarily used as a deep threat. You could see him maybe go to New York. the Jets, that is, opposite Garrett Wilson. I think that'd be a nice little 1-2 punch.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation. You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
They have a lot of cap, $79 million available. I was thinking about the Giants, but the Giants are kind of strapped right now unless they make some moves. Thought that might be an interesting one if they went Spencer Fano at the top of the first round instead of going like a Carnell Tate to add to that receiver, and then you go get a Pierce. But with not a ton of cash available, that kind of makes them a little bit in a tough spot. What do you think about Atlanta, who's got about $26 million in cap? And they're going to make some moves. They're going to lose some pieces. I think Pitts is walking. We'll talk about tight ends on another show, but no Pitts. You have London there. They're projecting to potentially have Darnell Mooney as a cap casualty. And their number two right now after Drake London is Kadarius Hodge. Could Pierce, is that too redundant? I know he's obviously different stylistically than Drake London, but having two dudes that are 6'3", 6'4", and that wide receiver, is that too redundant for you? Like, I think the Falcons are interesting indoors. Bring a little, you know, to be honest with you, it brings a little bit of that. He's not quite Roma Dunze, but what Rome and McMillan brought Washington with Penix back at Washington a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a sleepy pick for a sleepy offense, you know? And offense, you know, moves the ball. I mean, they got, you know, arguably the best running back in the league. But as far as the passing game goes, it's kind of a sneaky, you know, they lull you to sleep. But they end up, you know, it adds up at the end of the day. I could see him, you know, opposite London, you know, have like a Twin Towers kind of situation there. That could be nice. I think he kind of fits that team. The profile of that team, kind of more of a finesse team, less of a, you know, they're not going to bully you around really with the offense. But yeah, I mean, Atlanta, I mean, they've had a dearth of consistent wide receiving options there other than London. So I think he would add that element of consistency.
He could definitely be the one out of all these guys, as far as our dynasty rankings go, that sees the biggest jump depending on where he lands and what that number looks like. Right now, he's on the outside looking in at the dynasty top 150 of our combined rankings right now, behind guys we've already talked about like Mike Evans and George Pickens alike. A couple names that are ahead of Alec Pierce right now in the dynasty rankings, just by a little bit, not by too much, same age. Same draft class, same Senior Bowl. Romeo Doubs has a projection of 4 years, $61 million. So that's about 15 and some change per year. He had 700 yards last year on 85 targets. Projected to depart the Green Bay Packers, who still have Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, who will be free agents next year, Matthew Golden, who was a rookie this past year, and Savion Williams from last year's draft class in the third round at TCU. As well, Romeo feels like that his stay has been overdone, I guess you'd say, for a little.
Really? I feel like he's arguably their most consistent pass catcher.
I know you've said that a lot, and I would agree with you purely because of health. Because Watson can't stay on the field, Reed hasn't been able to stay on the field, and Golden really just wasn't utilized. So I would agree with you outside of Tucker Kraft. Like if Tucker Kraft isn't in that conversation, I would argue, but I wouldn't argue. But so Are you angling at, you think, potentially staying in Green Bay on some kind of good deal is up for conversation? Or, I mean, the easy one that everyone's looking at, like for Malik Willis, for example, right now, is everyone's just looking at Miami, and they're going, well, Miami, you know, now has their former defensive coordinator as their head coach and a their former player president of what the hell is his title? Player personnel president or whatever as their general manager. So both guys came over from Green Bay to Miami. They lose Tyreek Hill. They're losing Cedric Wilson. They don't really have a big presence. It's Taj Washington, Malik Washington, Jalen Waddle, Theo Weiss, who are all 5'10 and under. Is, you know, potentially that a spot where Dobbs can go down there and just, he's like the, hey, you know, it's going to be potentially Quinn Ewers and maybe another rookie quarterback dealing with this very underwhelming season from Miami. Is that a spot where, you know, they're like $15 million on Dobbs, like he could potentially carve out a career down here? Or do you see another spot for Mr. Romeo? Oh, Romeo.
I mean, it'd be an underwhelming pickup for an underwhelming offense. That's I mean, I see Romeo Dobbs like he's almost like a poor man's Keenan Allen type of player, somebody who is reliable, can move the marker, is a consistent red zone presence, but I don't think he changes the profile of your team. I don't think he's a number one anywhere. I think he's a good complementary kind of player. I think for Miami, I mean, it would make sense for them to add him, but I don't think it doesn't really do much for me in dynasty or, you know, season long. I mean, just actually for the Miami offense, I see him being, I mean, I could see him go to the Cowboys if they let Pickens go. Because I think he makes kind of he would make a good consistent number two receiver, kind of a big body receiver who could get in the red zone for the Cowboys. But I think that's the kind of the situation we're looking at for Dobbs, best case scenario.
What about, we talked about Calvin Ridley at the beginning. I said he's a potential cap casualty. That's kind of what the projections are out there in the ethos right now. Van Jefferson, James Proche are also free agents on Tennessee. So there's receiving room in total would be without Calvin Ridley. Alec Amanner, fourth rounder from last year. Chimere DK, fourth rounder from last year. And Mason Kinsey, who's been popping around on and off this roster for 5 years. Let's say Tennessee, of course, doesn't go wide receiver early. They go edge or lineman. And they kick the can on receiver in the draft to the second or third round, which is what they should do. And then they go get a guy like Dobbs to kind of fill in for that Ridley spot. And then you bring in a fourth guy in the draft, like I said, in the second or third round for Cam Ward. One, is that enough for Cam Ward, do you think, to make the fans happy? Like I still feel middling on, like, I was a okay fan of Amanner, not the biggest fan of DK. It's like, is that enough? I think it's kind of a savvy move. Go second and get like, a Zechariah Branch or a Jeremy Bernard or even a Chris Bell who's dealing with an ACL right now. Get one of these guys in the second or third round with the Dobbs. Have Amanner and DK in their second year with Ward and maybe another piece in free agency that's not overpaying for like a Pierce.
I mean, I think that would be good for him. I think that would be kind of what you want. You want, your young quarterback to have some young weapons to develop alongside with him. I think Romeo Dobbs kind of like, play like a veteran presence on an offense. I think he's a consistent, reliable option. That's always kind of there. Then you can, have your other pieces to kind of experiment with, so that makes sense there in Tennessee. It's not, like I said, Dobbs just isn't an exciting pick. I don't think we're going to see the needle move a lot for him one way or another wherever he goes. But he's a guy that can end up surprising you. And I think on an offense like Tennessee, where you don't have a lot of other, reliable pass catching options, you have a young quarterback who seems to be getting a hold of the game now. I think he could be a sneaky play there.
Is there any other free agent wide receivers you'd like to hit on?
I mean, Rashid Shaheed started to pop a little bit in Seattle. But again, I think like Pierce, he's just, I mean, he's a deep threat. And I feel we've seen he's just so volatile, depending, you know, on the offense that he's in and how he's utilized. I think there's potential for him to be a good fantasy contributor, but, you know, it's going to depend, you know, entirely on where he lands in the offense that they're running there. Jalen Naylor could be interesting. We saw flashes of consistency production there in Minnesota. You know, and I liked him as a prospect. You know, I think he never really got his, he got an opportunity to kind of be that guy on an offense, but we've seen flashes like we've seen, we've seen flashes in Minnesota this past season. So depending on where he lands, he could be a decent fantasy contributor. Somebody, I mean, I think he's one of these guys who could actually see actually a considerable swing from where he is in the rankings right now to where he could be, you know, if in the offense that he lands in.
He's outside the top 250. I mean, you're looking at a guy with back-to-back 400-yard seasons playing with, you know, and 10 total touchdowns playing with Addison and Jefferson, you know, and really not the best quarterback play this last year. But would it be at all out of question for you to, if I asked you 365 days from now, or if I told you 365 days from now, you know, yeah, Jalen Naylor just had a 900-yard season as the number two wide receiver for X. Like, would that shock you?
No, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, like we, like you said, like if we could line up some games like we've seen in Minnesota, if we could line up, you know, 17 games like that or close to it, I think he could he'd be well within those numbers.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this, and we'll cruise into the weekend, mid-February here, into Combine weekend. There's a couple of wide receivers, aging wide receivers, 31, 29, 32, over the age apex, 30, that are projected to get one-year deals. Debo Samuel, 1 year, $12 million. Brandon Cooks, 1 year, $5 million. Tyreek Hill, 1 year, $5 million. Also coming off of a historically bad knee injury. Hollywood Brown, 1 year, $6 million. Kendrick Bourne, 1 year, $7 million. Of those guys, Kendrick Bourne, Hollywood Brown, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks, Debo Samuel, lump in Keenan Allen at age 34 into that pile. All of these guys are on the outside looking in of the Dynasty top 175 right now. Any of those guys you're kind of looking at, all right, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, they could land in a spot on any whatever team. It doesn't really matter what team. They could end in Tennessee. They could be, you know, in the Romeo Doubs spot in Green Bay, for example, for a guy like, I don't know, Debo or Keenan Allen, where it's like, you know, that guy's going to get 90 targets. Remember what we thought about Keenan Allen? Nothing a year ago. Right. Then he goes back to Los Angeles and all of a sudden it's like this guy might get 100 targets this year. Any of those dudes you think 3 weeks from now we're potentially talking about bumping inside the top 175, top 150, getting a bump up in Dynasty and having some actual value in 2026?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Tyreek Hill for sure. I mean, if he comes off that knee injury, I mean, and he's any shadow, you know, even a dim shadow of his former self, he's still better, faster than most receivers in the National Football League. I mean, and the upside there is just, it's palpable. It always is. He's a special player. He's a special athlete. He's a special person. I think he definitely could break that depending on where he goes and how he's implemented it and his healing process. I think also, I mean, I think Keenan Allen could have another year like that. I mean, I think that season in Chicago or his time in Chicago is kind of an aberration. I think they just didn't really know what to do with him, how to use him. I mean, we saw what he could do in Los Angeles. And the thing is, unlike a lot of these other receivers, his performance isn't necessarily predicated on, you know, his athletic ability. He's one of these guys you can plug into an offense and just, you know, his knowledge of the game. And just having a big body and good hands, you know, could pay off for you. A lot of these other guys, if they're not in perfect condition or close to it, they're not going to do much for you. I think, you know, you got Keenan Allen, you got potentially Kendrick Bourne, who are kind of players who aren't necessarily reliant on their speed to produce for you. And I think Keenan Allen's, you know, still probably the better option of those two.
I don't know what it is, but something about Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes both recovering from, you know, major knee injuries together in the offseason, together during fall camp, together during September, and then just, hey, look, they're both healthy, and it's week 7, and the Kansas City Chiefs are 3-4, and they're going to bring the band back together, Kelce, Hill, Mahomes, and Kansas City's probably still going to miss the playoffs in 2026.